Yeah, perfect.
So my name's Lafayette Young. I go by Laf. I've been a resident of Maui for over 50 years. I remember when this whole development process started, and during this interval, for instance, where we live on the north shore of Maui at Honopoe, rainfalls have dropped from 160 inches a year to 80 inches a year. We know the EL aquifer is being pumped at close to 90% of its recovery rate. We're all involved in climate change and observing it all the time. Our question, because Phil and I both are on the board of the Haiku Community Association, and we've been tracking what the Department of Water Supply has been attempting to do hydrologically. Show me the water. Where's the water for this project going to come from? That would be our primary concern, because we keep getting pieces of information throughout the community that our area on the North Shore has an abundant amount of water and millions of gallons a day can be exported at absolutely no consequence to those of us who live there. And we draw a huge objection to those assumptions. More hydrologic data needs to be taken. We need to understand your early 1973 permitting, when the Cebu pipe was hardly feeding anything, is now probably at full capacity. And we're wondering whether what you were granted 50 years ago could still be delivered. Phil, would you want to add something?
Yes, a couple of things. Good evening. My name is Philip Lowenthal, and I am the vice chair of the Haiku Community Association, having been a resident out there for over 50 years. And I'm also chair of the Water Subcommittee of the Haiku Community Association. In Haiku, we're very concerned about, we see a thousand new residents coming up in an area where it's very dry. Where is the water going to come from? And so that's an ongoing concern we have in Haiku, because people go, oh, Haiku, there's a cloud out there. It must be water. But I'll tell you, they gave up on having a water meter list. You can't even get on the list anymore for water in Haiku. So it's a real issue. And part of the issue is, and I saw they're going to study water resources. One, we don't know what the plan is. And two, we're concerned that what information there is, what data there is about available water is sparse. It's very incomplete data as to what's available, and a lot of inferences are made that don't seem to include climate change or other demographics. And so we commend to you to study the resources and the underlying data. And there must be sufficient underlying data to have reliable decisions made. That's our concern, and the Haiku Community Association will be happy to work with you in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Laf. Thank you, Phil. That Chewbacca sound was not your 3 minutes. That was apparently a notification on Trish's phone. Perfect. Okay, caught that. Good. Thank you for coming out all the way from Haiku. Daniel? And then after Daniel, if anyone else wanted to make a comment, just after he's Paul, let me know.
Hello, my kako. My name is Daniel Kanahele. In 53 years, South Maui has changed dramatically. It has probably increased in population by 8 to 10-fold. Unfortunately, the infrastructure hasn't kept up with the land use. So an EIS is a very good thing that you need to do an EIS. You have to do an EIS to evaluate the cumulative effects of the project on the built environment, the natural environment. Workforce housing is a huge need right now. Not high-end housing, not luxury housing, workforce housing. And workforce housing, especially in the area where people work, There's no workforce housing in Wailea or McKenna, is there? No. There is not. And that's a great job-generating place. We need workforce housing where people work. Project would get through a lot better. They built workforce housing, not in North Kihei, not in Central Kihei. Let's build it in McKenna and Wailea. Pilani Highway, most of it is at level of service E. The lowest is F. We're at E right now. You have all these projects coming online. You have Wailea 670, 1,150 homes. You have the R&T Park, 250. You have the high school opening in January. You got the roundabout opening next week. You got everything dumping onto Pi'ilani Highway. It's like a funnel. At level of service E, you're gonna reach a tipping point. It's gonna become F. And that's unsustainable. That's a huge problem. So you're gonna have constraints on what you can build because of water and because of lack of adequate infrastructure. But certainly transportation is gonna be the big one because all of us drive Pi'ilani Highway. And we know it's not adequate for what we have now, what is planned. So you're gonna have to come up with some good data and hopefully you will reach out a lot to people. I wish you would extend that deadline. That would be a good starting point. Be generous. Why does it have to be 23rd? Go all the way to the end of the month. Show that you really care to hear from people. Don't cut it off at 23rd. 2 weeks, so great. Let's go all the way to the end of January. That's a small concession, right? You can make for the people. Thank you.
Mahalo ya'oi, Daniel. That was all we had listed down here. Anyone that checked the box or didn't check the box, we got some no's, we get some blanks, but if anyone else, please, if you could just let us know your name, yeah, so we can make sure to record that in the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom Crowley. I'm a resident of Maui Meadows. Thank you. I'll just state my personal concerns. One of the things that's on there is improvements on Pi'ilani Highway. I'm not sure if it includes all the improvements or just the section down there near the intersection. But I live on Akala Drive. Akala Drive parallels Pi'ilani Highway. The one concern I would have for any improvements being made there, that when those improvements are being made, that the traffic isn't funneled down my street. That's fairly simple. The other concern, once everything gets built, I have this beautiful ocean view that runs right through this area. So before it gets built, I'd like to understand what the impacts on my views from my property would be. So Pi'ilani Highway improvements and views from Maui Meadows, I'm sure you'd hear the same from a lot of my neighbors who live on a college drive. Thank you.
Mahalo, Tom. Anyone else? As we said, this is, you know, you'll have ample time. If you don't want to ask or put in any comments now, that entire presentation you just saw, the slides will be on that website, LedCorpSouthMauiPermitting.com. And you can view those as you write the on the smart comment sheet or obviously mail in things here to USPS. Daniel?
If you don't have any other comments,
and if there's
time, can I finish?
Yeah. Please? Yeah. Please? Yeah. And for Lof and Phil, if you guys wanted to, anyone wants to re-comment, we can go again. But I think you're the only one, so fire. AV Tech coming through.
Okay, thank you. So getting back to Pi'ilani Highway, okay. So on Pi'ilani Highway from Kilohana to Wailea Ike, right? Wailea 670 is supposed to widen that highway to 4 lanes. They just got their phase 2 approval. Then LEDCOR has plans to do work on the Kilohana side of it. And then in January, Armstrong is going to put a lighted intersection at the Mikioi Okalani intersection. You have all those things going on. Are you guys coordinating, you know, so that we come up with a good product, right? I'd like to see a good, are you talking to each other? LETCOR talking to HP, Honua ULA Partners, and are you talking to Armstrong? And are you coordinating what's happening to that major artery, Pe'ilani Highway? I'd like to see that happen. Okay, that was my Pe'ilani Highway piece. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. I was remiss in mentioning, I totally forgot to mention, or we forgot to mention, we did bring cookies and water. Should have said that in the beginning.
But,
oh, you did, okay. I was outside. I was holding the door. Okay, going once, going twice, no. What's that?
Yes, sir, you want to go?
Oh, please, yes, sir, thank you. And if you could just once again say your name before you talk so we get that in the comments as well. Oh, I mixed up.
Norton, I live in Pulani Estates.
So is that reverberating?
Thank you.
Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah.
I can bounce back.
Go right up to the mic, though.
Right into it? Okay. I live in Pu'ulani Estates, which is by Okalani. And we've had the past 2 years pleasure of listening to blasting, rock breaking all day long, totally trashing our retirement here. We're here full time while they build 45 units for 45 non-residents and blowing out the hillside so that they will have an ocean view. That farce is going to continue with all the other developments in Wailea because the county is salivating over the property taxes they'll get from non-residents. That's one comment I would like to make for the record. The other is Wailea Community Association has a website, and one of the tabs on that website is information on development. And there have been a number of small developments in the past several years. About 3 years ago, there was documentation submitted to the county. There was a letter that went part of that package from the manager of WCA saying how wonderful this project was going to be. And this was across the street from Lialoa. And 10 days later, at the annual meeting for Wailea Community Association, it wasn't mentioned. It was going to be their biggest development, but it wasn't worth mentioning. On the WCA website, it has been mentioned the past couple of years. The management of Wailea Community Association is deliberately withholding information from all the residents of Wailea. And when you're paying their salaries, you kind of wonder why. So if I sound irritated, I am beyond irritation at the scurrilous behavior of WCA and those they affiliate with. I have a question. Is Lloyd Nyquist here this evening? No? Well, it's very interesting he's not here. Lloyd Nyquist is, as I understand it, senior VP of LEDCOR, but he couldn't be bothered to be here. He's also inserted himself as being treasurer of WCA. He's also a VP of PB Sullivan, the people who blast out the hillside and break rocks all day. He's inserted himself everywhere. I'm kind of surprised he didn't run for mayor. So I find it odd that he's not here. I wonder what his agenda is in inserting himself with WCA and with Sullivan. So I just want that observation to be on the record. Thank you.
Mahalo, Julian. Anyone else? Mahalo. Daniel? You can find those presentation slides up on the LEDCORESouthMauiPermitting.com, and they're up there right now.
Yeah.
I believe so. They're already up. Comment, the ability to comment is already up as well at that website right there.
No, all comments will actually be included in the draft EIS. That's required by law. So everything that you write down, the recording, right? The recording will be posted at the state website, where we're obligated to send the audio file to the state, and they'll we'll do that at the same time the draft EIS is published. So the same time that we're uploading the draft EIS, the recordings from tonight will be included. All the comments in the draft EIS that we'll be preparing will also be included. So everything that's being shared tonight, anything you write down, anything anybody mails, anything anybody submits in that online commenter comment form will be included in the draft EIS verbatim. Yeah.
One comment I should have made was at the microphone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
So we'll hear Julian's comment and then Daniel Kalamai. Thank you.
The development submittals to the county are in the hundreds. So finding out when something gets submitted that has an impact on the area where we live is hard to locate. And it's made even more difficult, going back to my earlier comment, when information is deliberately withheld from local residents. Is the website you gave here this evening going to indicate when documents are submitted to the county for review? It shouldn't have to be a guessing game to try and find out going on.
Yeah, that hasn't been determined yet, but the state does have a website, and I was going to try to pull up the Environmental Review Program's website. So every project or proposed action that requires this environmental review is posted and published in what's called the Environmental Notice, and that comes out on the 8th and 23rd of every month. And there you can find what's going on, so you can track it. I think there's even a map. Is there a map there? No, there's not a map. But it comes out, like I said, every 8th and 23rd of the month, and it will list all the projects that is going through the state Chapter 343 environmental review process. I know the county has their own website where they have information as well. But in terms of ours, this will be specific to this effort for LEDCORE Maui. And we'll be posting information as it's ready there. Yeah.
Site, but how easy is it to find a document, submittal package, etc. on that site?
So are you talking about the website project that was created for this project? It's very easy.
No, at the county. At the state or the county level. How do you find, do you have a real search on your PANS to try and find any information?
Well, unfortunately, we don't control the county website. So we can absolutely take your comments in tonight. This was primarily to make the EIS easily findable and accessible so the public has opportunity to comment. As we said, we will take the comments in, and as things come up, if that's something the community wants, we'll look into it. But unfortunately, we don't control the County of Maui website. I'm sorry.
I would urge you to make everything easy to find. If a county has something which is vague or doesn't have a good search feature, then it kind of falls back on LEDCORE and its associates to make it a bit easier for the community. I haven't got the time to make a research project a couple of days a month when the information, you know, when you're submitting stuff, make it readily available if you have a website, which you do.
Absolutely. Thank you for the comment.
You.
And that's why the website was created, to try to make things easier. But thank you.
Kalamai. So as I was looking around, I noticed that there are representatives here from the Kihei Community Association, from the Maui Meadows Neighborhood Association, and maybe from the Wailea Community Association, and also from the Ahumoku, from Kulakai and Hunua'ula. So I think it's a great opportunity to reach out to your neighbors. Maybe you should do an open house at the Kamali'i Elementary School cafeteria and invite members from the Wailea Community Association. Ka'anohi, I didn't notice you. Okay. I just noticed you. And Maui Meadows Neighborhood Association, that would be a good nexus to have an open house there to talk about your project and get feedback from them. And especially the KCA, you can meet with their design review committee early on. And then with the Ahumoku people, you know, the folks that really know the land, because they're from the Aina, they know what's there. They have generational knowledge. So you definitely want to meet with those folks. They're here right now. Those folks right here right now. Talk to those guys. And the other thing I want to mention is the water again. You know, we're having less rain, right? Precipitation, there's less rain. There are not as many trade wind days. The trade winds is what brings the water, the rain from north over here. You know, parts of South Maui are in severe drought. Ma'alaya is in severe drought. Folks who lived here, we noticed that there's less and less rain. You see how dry everything is? And now we got to divide what water we have. We need to share the water. We use a lot of water in South Maui, Wailea, Makena. We use a lot of water over there to create these lush yards that look like you're in Hana. Those days got to be powered. You can't have that kind of wasted use of water. You can't have homes where every house has a swimming pool, like the SFS project. You know, all of those homes are going to have pools if they wanted. If you fly over South Maui, you see all the pools down there. You know how much water is lost through evaporation? We're in drought conditions. You need to conserve water. Our kupuna would not like to see how we're wasting water on this side. It's not even our water. We're getting it from our ohana that live up in Nawaiʻeha. You know, they have to have water restrictions. We never have water restrictions in South Maui. Come to my house, you'll see water restrictions. You look at my grass, you know. I try to train it not to drink so much water, because I feel guilty taking all that water. So you folks who want to come here, you need to conserve the water. And no more yards that look like Hana, no more swimming pools in every yard. Those days have to be power ready. We live in different times. Okay, mahalo.
Okay. Mahalo, Daniel. Thank you all for coming. If I know we had a couple people, Kaimi, Brada, if you guys wanted to make a, we're doing the period of oral comments, if you wanted to provide anything. I know you missed the presentation, but for you guys that know, the presentation as presented will be up on that website, LeadCoreSouthMauiPermitting.com. Comments can be given there or also written via snail mail to these two addresses right over here. So, Kimmy? Trish? Anything? Okay. Mahalo ya'o ko for coming out here tonight. Thank you very much. Mahalo, Vernon, for giving the opening pule, cookies and water, and please drive safe. Mahalo.
Timer, you'll hear the beep thing.
Okay. Lucianne, Claire, Diego.
The three musketeers.
Yeah, oh, you got timer? Awesome.
Aloha, my name is Lucienne Dine. I'm the president of Sierra Club for Maui, and appreciate this chance to come in late and give a few comments. Been up in McKenna checking out some archaeological sites that are very important to our history. And here we are, and Sierra Club, Maui de Mauro, Ho'oponopono o Makena, asked for this EIS because we felt like just looking at lot by lot here in the land of Paiahu, it just wasn't really going to give us a real idea of what the impacts of developing the last lands. And I think you need to look at the impacts all together, especially the cultural and natural environment. There are still a lot of archaeological sites that have not been recognized, not been honored on these lands. And even the ones that have been found, at least the reports that were being used for the individual project EAs and SMA permits, they weren't being given their full value. They weren't being seen in light of everything else they relate to. So we would hope that this project would have a cultural landscape approach. We just came from viewing a cultural landscape at McKenna Resort. They have adopted this approach. Wailea 670 is adopting this approach. It's how we need to look at things. We need to look at things as connected. A lot of Paiahu has been lost, so it's not the time to figure out what more we can get rid of in terms of the archaeological and cultural sites there. It's a time to look at how we can put together these last vestiges and how they relate to the other things that still remain. Also, these are very sloping lands. There's a reason they're the last parcels that never got developed. A lot of them have very profound slopes, drainage features. Westerners call them drainage features, kahawai. They're really the sacred pathways where the water flows when the waters come from heaven, which is a gift none of us should overlook. So looking at these as not just something to, you know, dump everything in, but something that is a trust to care for and preserve and not use as just a way to get the waters that you don't want off your land is very, very important. So we need that whole look for how the kahawais work from the mountain to the sea. There's some very, very important beaches downslope from these lands, even though these are not coastal lands. What happens on the lands really affects things. One of the parcels, the MF7, has already been destroyed beyond belief, and that is a great sad note that cannot be repaired. But we have to see in this EIS that the intent is to do much, much better. So, mahalo for your time.
Mahalo, Lucianne. Auntie Claire?
And just make sure to say your name in the mic so that gets recorded as well into the record.
Much better. Okay. Okay, Claire Apana. I am from Wailuku, and I am testifying on behalf of myself and Malama Kakanilua. Malama Kakanilua has consistently testified that you are taking the waters of Navaeha to use in South Maui. And this is no different. We would like you to show us how you are going to bring back the waters to Navaeha, that South Maui, and the incursion of this many homes and visitors and people who were not here before to South Maui that use the water from Navaeha. We'd like to know how you're going to restore this water to Navaeha when you do your environmental impact statement. Just how are you making this up to the people of Wailuku-Moku that you can take water to bring to this dry, arid place and sprinkle your yards and make your swimming pools and never, ever give back to Navaeha. We'd like to know how that happens and what is your plan to restore our water. And would also like to make a comment on this area. And when you look at a map of this particular area, Paiahu, Wailea, Makena, you see many place names with the word mo'o. And we have testified many times to the archaeologists that when you see that, that means that the water is flowing. The mo'o is there protecting the waterways. And have you even begun to investigate these waterways? Does your EIS show us clearly where the underground water is and that it will not be affected by luxury homes or swimming pools meant for developments such as the, I think it's MF8 project? Have you clearly shown that you will not be affecting the underground water, the water that we depend upon to get to the ocean clean so that it can feed the limu and the biota at the ocean and keep our oceans healthy and living for people like Kanaka who have used it for sustenance? And in Paiahu, in particular, Kahamanini Bay used to be the place where all of our families would go and camp, fish, and everyone knew it. Now, nobody goes. It's been closed because of bacteria count. How will you this, all of these projects show that you will not affect it other than saying, we're not going to affect it because we've taken care of the drainage. We'd like to see the real statistics. We'd like to see studies that show before and after and what is the present status of the drainage going into this ocean. And we'd like to see that you know that no one will be affecting the underground water flows and the especially what is going into the ocean. And you can see them clearly in the drone footage that they exist. The springs are coming out at the ocean. There are promises that have been made by the archaeological development teams to answer some of our questions about specific sites. And we've never been given the chance to go back to the sites to investigate and to know that they are being protected. So I just like to know that all of these things have been taken care of and that they have been taken care of to the level that we are happy with it. The people who have lived here, grown up here in this place, the people who care about the land, the cultural features, the sites. We'd like to know that wall that we feel is important is also important to you. And if it's not, we'd like to know better than, well, we just decide it's not. and we're going to build you a little garden. So thank you very much for the time and for allowing me to express this tonight. Thank you.
Mahalo nui a oe, Anake. Diego?
My name is Diego Rivera. I'm a current third-year law student at the UH Law School, and I have 2 points. The first is archaeological preservation, making sure that, you know, like Lucien was saying, we don't just zoom in on either specific sites or specific project areas, and making sure that we take into account the entire context of all the culture and the archaeological sites throughout this area. And realize that there's a lot more to it and that it's not just individual pieces. And then the second thing is drainage, waterways, water infiltration, all that good stuff. It's all wrapped up in the same idea. We really need key line design and low impact design so that way we can maintain the natural contours of the land, but also really increase the infiltration of water and sediment and chemicals that come from upslope. And we need to make sure that we're not just putting an impervious cap on the land and filling in all these spaces that are being constructed, and really take into account the entire flow from upslope all the way downslope to the ocean, and making sure that all of this flooding that happens every year, all this sediment and chemicals that get washed off, like over the surface into the ocean, it gets infiltrated into the land so that way it can get filtered out and prevent destruction of the near coastal resources such as like coral reefs and fish that rely on that. Thank you.